Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, Chris, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. We have made it. We're back. Eagles football tonight. The Eagles and the Green Bay Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Pre-game show, I'll be leading the way, 6 to 8 p.m. on 94 WIP. We've got the midday show as well today. So a lot going on in Philadelphia as we get ready for this game and the start of the Eagles season. What a start last night, by the way. Chiefs over the Ravens to start off the NFL season by centimeters last night with Isaiah Likely's foot on the back end of the end zone line. All right, let's get to the Eagles. And I wanted to do this. You know, I've had a lot of different kind of thoughts and preview episodes with over-unders and betting tips and, you know, who I think are the contenders in the NFC and the NFC East and all that. But what are the X factors this year? Like, what are the determining factors, not just tonight against the Green Bay Packers, but what are the factors that are going to determine how good the Eagles actually are going to be? Because I can't remember a season in recent memory where there's as much variance on the thought process with the Eagles as I've seen this year. You know, you read or listen to smart people who think they're a legitimate regression candidate. They could fall back into the 9 or 8 win range, miss the postseason. And I don't think that is crazy. I don't. I saw Bill Barnwell on that. I saw Nick Wright on that. I don't think these thoughts are insane. Unlikely, maybe, but not insane. I don't think it's crazy to think that could happen. I've also seen a lot of people, a lot of fans here with us on the Midday Show, but also analysts picking the Eagles to go very deep in the playoffs. Super Bowl appearance, 12, 13, 14 wins, number one seed. So we have a wide array and a wide variance of thought process on how good the Eagles are, how good they could be. So what's going to determine that? And I, you know, obviously it's easy to say, well, their best players got to play well and they got to coach. Well, yeah. But like what really will be the X factors that will be the difference between, let's say, 8-9 and a colossal disappointment and 13-4. And we're talking about home games at the link to go to the Super Bowl. Like what determines that gap? So I have my 5 X factors for the Eagles season that really will tell the tale on how good this football team or how great this football team will be. Number one. And I don't think this has been talked about enough. I've brought it up as much as I can whenever the discussion merits. And that is how quickly Jalen Hurts excels in Kellen Moore's offense. I believe Jalen Hurts will, at some point this season, pick this up and it'll be like his offense. And he will feel comfortable in the offense. But when is that? I don't know the answer to that question. And there's, I think, an assumption right now it's going to be like tonight. And maybe you listen to this podcast after they play their first game and he already lights it up and you're like, say it's tonight. I don't know that. What I do know is Jalen Hurts' history. And Jalen Hurts' history is it usually takes him a month. If you go through it back to Alabama, where he had many different coordinators, to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, to the Philadelphia Eagles, where it started off as Shane Steichen and, of course, Nick Sirianni early in his tenure. And then last year was Brian Johnson. And now we're going to go to Kellen Moore. That first month in a new offense tends to be very choppy for Jalen Hurts. He gets better October on. That's when he plays his best football. Go back to 2021. He played well in Atlanta. He wasn't as good against the San Francisco 49ers. And then it was a little bit choppier in, you know, they played Kansas City, put up some good numbers. They lost that game. Very choppy against the, I'm trying to remember the schedule, the Panthers, the Bucks, the Raiders. And then all of a sudden, boom, it started to click when Shane Steichen took over the play calling, but that offense and the system and what they were asking kind of clicked. Last year, it's pretty choppy for Jalen Hurts the first month of the season statistically. Interceptions against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just looked off in week one against the New England Patriots. And then you get to October. I thought it really started to click for him week 5, I believe it was last year, against the Rams in Los Angeles. I thought that was his best game of the season last year. And he started to play some good football in that stretch before things fell apart at the end. So that second month, that October with the new coordinator, is when Jalen Hurts tended to play his best football in college and played his best football last year in the pros. Is it going to take him a month? And how many games can the Eagles win if their offense isn't leading the charge to help a young defense early in the season? If Jalen gets this stuff from day one, they can win a lot of football games. If he doesn't, it will take more time. That's number one X factor. Number two, it's the pass rush. I have serious questions about the pass rush this season, and I'm going to include the defensive linemen, and it's not just the edge rushers, but their edge rushing group is very questionable. I mean, like, is Bryce Huff the guy they paid for? You know, Ben Solak over at ESPN used to be with Bleeding Green Nation, The Ringer. He's been in different places. Now he's with ESPN. He had an article projecting the stat leaders for each category, and one of the guys he mentioned, and he didn't put him as the favorite, but he certainly put him in the conversation to lead the NFL in sacks, was Bryce Huff. And that was interesting to me because I haven't considered that. But, you know, on a per-snap basis with the Jets, he was very productive. Yesterday, bold predictions in the midday show, Hugh Douglas said he's going to break the single-season sack record. I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, the Eagles paid him because they think he could be a clear double-digit sack guy with more snaps. We shall see. They need him to be. They need Nolan Smith to be something. They need Josh Sweat to be something after a restructure of his deal. They may need Jalix Hunt to show he could play from, you know, early on in his rookie year. And then, of course, they need Jalen Carter on the defensive line to pop to a level where he is a clear Pro Bowler and an All-Pro candidate. You get positive answers to those questions, they'll get enough pass rush. If we are midseason and we're like, they gave $51 million to Bryce Huff, Jalen Carter is supposed to be this good, and he's not, well, then they're not going to be after the quarterback enough, and it won't matter. The pass rush is number two. Number three for me is the offensive line and the offensive line depth. It's very easy to look at a starting five of a line and say, well, that's good. Yeah, but that's not reality. Guys get hurt. And I hope this is a year where Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens and Jordan Mailata all play the entire season. The reality is that's not the NFL. And we may learn more about names that we're not talking much about, like Fred Johnson, like Trevor Keegan, you know, Nick Gates, who they signed in training camp. Like, these might be names, Tyler Steen, that we're speaking on in October and November and early December, and they matter. They are part of the storyline of the season, and we're not talking about them right now. I think it's thinner than most years. The Eagles have had a lot of great, deep offensive line rooms. When you think about the Super Bowl year when they won, and, you know, Big V had to come out and play and play well. And they had the rotation with Samalo and Stefan Wisniewski at the guard position. Like, they've had some really deep offensive lines. A couple years ago, Cam Jurgens as a backup on the offensive line. Deep. Jack Driscoll, they just actually brought back. He could be a character in all this. But that tells you something because they let him go in the offseason. Is the guard position good enough behind Becton? And the offensive line depth, that is like my third X factor for this Eagles season to determine how good they're going to be. Number four, and this is typically one where you kind of say you hope you don't have to rely on them, but we already might be trending on relying on them. How quickly are the young corners ready for primetime? That is a question I have. It's an X factor for me starting tonight against the Green Bay Packers, and I think it's an X factor for the season. So we know Quinyon Mitchell is going to play a lot. Vic Fangio has been effusive in his praise of Quinyon, how good he is right now, how good he could be, how quickly he's picked things up. He's going to play a lot thrown on his plate. And Quinyon Mitchell now with the injury to Isaiah Rodgers for week one is clearly up as a starter. So Quinyon, it's a baptism by fire against a team that has a really smart, efficient, well-run, well-orchestrated, well-designed offense in the Green Bay Packers against a quarterback who is coming into his own in Jordan Love. A lot of hype for the Packers. I see it. I understand why it is. And I think the Packers have a real chance to be really good this season. So this is a baptism by fire. And then next week, it's Kirk Cousins. And, you know, he's a very professional quarterback who could put up big numbers. And then as we go through this, they're going to see some good receivers, some good quarterbacks. Like, it's baptism by fire for Quinyon Mitchell. Is he ready to be a down-to-down consistent player for the Eagles? Like, today. Will that come in week 7 or 8? Again, this is kind of like the Jalen thing where I think it will work. I think it will happen. It's a matter of when and how consistent is it. And the other guy to mention with us is Cooper DeJean. Now, Cooper DeJean missed a lot of camp, has only been back for a few weeks, looked a little slower, rusty in his one preseason, you know, performance against the Minnesota Vikings a few weeks ago. So we have that angle to where how quickly could Cooper DeJean get on the field? Because I have questions about Darius Slay's play this year at his age. Most corners do not play well at this age. Now, he might be just be a total outlier, but if he's not and he has a drop-off, the Eagles will have to look to take him off the field. And if they do that, well, Quinyon's obviously going to be on the field. And then you have, hopefully, Isaiah Rodgers healthy. You have Keely Ringo. But pretty soon after that, you're going to find a way to get a guy like Cooper DeJean on the field. How quickly could he reach the hype level that I put on him pre-draft? I love Cooper DeJean. I'm like, I'm this close. When I watch him play for the first time and we watch him make a big play, I'm going to be this close to get a Cooper DeJean jersey. I saw a video last night of Bryce Harper wearing a Cooper DeJean jersey. I wanted him to draft so much. And we talked about it for so many days on this podcast and on the show on WIP. I'm a big Cooper DeJean guy, and I can't wait to watch him play. But how, you know, rookie DBs, they don't always play a lot and play a lot well in their first year. That could take some time. Even Lito and Sheldon, it took a little time. So will these guys be ready like today, tonight, next week to play, or will it take time? That's an X factor. The quicker we get to the positive on the answer, the quicker the Eagles can start winning a lot of football games. And then number five, the fifth X factor for me that's going to determine the Eagles season this year. And this one is a very simple one that too many people have just like pushed away, brushed away, and assumed is fine. And that is how Nick Sirianni handles the pressure and the inevitable. And I mean inevitable hot seat. Inevitable. As soon as the Eagles have their first rough patch of the season, whenever that is, it could be the next couple weeks, it could be in October, whenever it is, the storylines will be out there about Sirianni losing his job, about ready-made replacements on this staff now, if necessary, if they had to pull the plug-in season. And, of course, the Bill Belichick specter that hovers over this football team and hovers over the NFL for the postseason. It's all there. And Nick Sirianni, I think, has handled himself as well as he can. He said all the right things. He seems like he is focused on his role and being the best in it. But two things for me on Sirianni and how he's going to handle this. How will he keep his composure when things maybe are going off the rails a little bit? We know in the past he's very big trouble with his composure. And the second thing is, how much will he stay out of the offense when bleep hits the fan? And I say this for two reasons. One, he's the head coach, and he's an offensive guy. And two, he loves offense. I was watching you can check it on YouTube. They're probably going to play before the game tonight on NBC. I was watching the Tony Dungy interview with Nick Sirianni that they're going to air tonight. And it's on YouTube. You can check it out now. And they were breaking down film, breaking down what Kelsey brought, what Cam Jurgens brings. It was like a half hour. It was actually really cool. Like a real coaching thing between Dungy and Sirianni. And I thought Sirianni kind of let his guard down a little bit. It was open with Tony Dungy. But the one thing that I felt watching was that this has to kill Sirianni deep down, that he's no longer part of the offense. It has to really like hurt him because he's an offensive guy. You could hear, now, maybe not a good enough one to be a play caller in the NFL or designer. We saw that last year. But it doesn't mean that's not where his heart is. And we saw it last year, or we saw it in this video. If you go watch it, I saw it. Like it, he lights up talking about offense and scheme and the coaching points and the teaching points of designing offense and what each guy's supposed to do on a play and how it disguises this. He loves it. So you know his heart's still there in the offense. You know he wishes he was doing that. It's just he's doing the role that the Eagles presented to him so he can keep his job and be the head coach of his football team. But I go back to this. Let's just say tonight, next week, fourth quarter, the Eagles are down 4 points, 5 minutes to go. They have a 3rd and 7 on their own 48. So if they get it over midfield to keep the football, at least get maybe 5 yards, 4 yards on the play at least to set up the manageable fourth down over midfield. Otherwise, it's going to be a 3rd and 7, and the game is pretty much on the line right there. So you got to get something positive. You want the first down. What's the play call, okay? And let's just say, you know, Sirianni is in his ear said, he hears more relaying a play call to Jalen Hurts. If Nick Sirianni doesn't like that play call, or he feels it's the wrong call for the situation, and he thinks they should change the call to something else, is he getting on the headset and saying, no, Kellen, let's do this? Because that would be, in a sense, overstepping what they've set up, but in another sense, he's the head coach. And how does that dynamic work in the crunch time of moments? It's not just punt or go for it. I mean, like some of those decisions that he has to make are, you know, presented to him basically by the analytics team. Like, that's not the hardest thing in the world. It's these decisions. It's these little kind of management decisions that could make or break a football team, that could kind of cut out the authority and the autonomy that Kellen Moore has as he develops a rapport with Jalen Hurts. It could throw everything in question. And then if it doesn't work, how does that look? How does that look? And who gets the blame after the game? And does Sirianni come out and tell us he did that? Or does he hide it? Does it come out through a leak in the media? Like, especially when the going gets tough, those are the things I'm going to be looking the most at. So those are my X factors. The Sirianni factor is a major one. How does he handle the hot seat? If the rookie DBs are ready for primetime, offensive line depth, the pass rush, and how quickly Jalen Hurts picks up the offense in the past, it's taken a month plus to get really comfortable with new offensive coordinators. Let's go, Eagles. Let's have a great night tonight. Hopefully a win for the Philadelphia Eagles against the Green Bay Packers. Go Birds. We'll talk on the Midday Show and, of course, the Eagles Radio Network pregame show starting at 6 from the Link on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Thanks for listening.